This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Certainly is a tradition here, a staple of Saturday mornings on CJAD 800. Good morning. It's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renov Code. Answer your calls and your questions. Call now at 514-790-0800. How is your drive in this morning? Better than last week, I hope.
Much better. My God, the roads were open for a change.
When things are that smooth, you go, something must be wrong.
That's correct. The only thing is you get caught in the downpour walking to the station, but that's okay. That happens.
It was a much better drive in this morning because the Ville Marie all the way into town was fine. But there are problems out there this morning. We'll have road reports for you throughout the morning now here on CJ8800. 13 has got some issues this weekend as well. If you haven't got something going on home, let us know in terms of, sometimes you just need someone to talk to, get a question or two answered. Walter's here for that at 514-790-0800. Like this one on the text line, I want to refresh my kitchen with a brand new countertop. What are some of my choices?
We have the quartz, the granite, the corian, and the arborite. There's also now marble tops, which before were taboo when it comes to kitchens because of the stains, but now they treat them in a way that is guaranteed for 10 years that they won't stain. So that's another option that you can add. And one of the latest that's trending right now is porcelain countertops.
Porcelain.
That's correct. Now, with porcelain, the thing is, believe it or not, the slabs are very thin. They're 6 millimeter or 12 millimeter thick. So that's, in any perspective of countertops, is considered very thin. But they do an underpacking. So sometimes they would put a cheap marble underneath and do glue it on, or a curdy board or anything like that. But it's trending. The colors are amazing. And what you could do with that is you could install it as a backsplash as well, and because it's thin, it doesn't show that slippage. That's correct. So the colors are fantastic as well. That's the newest one. But the only prohibitive thing is that it is expensive. It's not really very affordable as much as, I would say, arborite, or even it's way more expensive than quartz and granite. Of course, the most popular right now is quartz. That's what I would say 9 out of 10 countertops that we install is made out of quartz.
Is that right?
The variety of colors, the fact that it's the least porous in all of the stones, although it's a man-made stone, if you wish. It's a compacted resin and what have you. It's still considered to be the most practical and the most, they have the most choices of colors as well.
Walter, another thing from the text line, this was left over from last week. We didn't have a chance to get it, but someone wants to get some advice on their shower head because the spray is not even like it used to be, and about replacing a shower head. Can you take it off and do a little cleanup in there just to get a better spray?
That is correct. I mean, they have to be cleaned every now and then. What you could do is take it off, clean it first with a TSP solution or anything that can decalcinate the clunk that is in the shower head, and then try it. That might save you a shower head in the process. Mm-hmm. So 9 out of 10 times that will actually work. Mm-hmm.
And another one here. How do I get rid of my squeaky floors in an upstairs bedroom? They're asking if screwing in some nails to tighten up the boards is an answer.
It might be an answer. It's not a very good cosmetic solution because now you're going to see, I prefer screws to nails because nails, with time, they're going to spiral out. So nails, screws is the way to go. There's not much that you could do if you don't want to disturb the floor itself, except maybe try that. It is an issue, and that's why we say when you replace your floors, make sure that you screw in and do floor prep. Spend some time on floor prepping. If you're putting in new plywood, make sure that you have some PL glue beside the screws that you're going to screw in. And then if you have any differences or unevenness, if you're starting from the joist up, well, make sure to fair it up that you have an even floor at the same time, because that's the best time to do it. Having said that, if you do these steps, you wouldn't have problems on the long term. Now, if you are going backwards and you're not replacing the plywood, you're just so make sure at least you screw in the plywood. Make sure it's really and walk on it and try it and, right. and bounce on it and jump on it if you have to, just to make sure that you've done a good job in the process. Mm-hmm. The trick is 6 inches of screws per span. So, okay. you know, don't go cheap on those screws.
All right. Let's go to Molly, who's on the line. Hi, Molly.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're good. You want to talk about the window issue?
I do. I have very serious condensation on my windows.
Yeah.
And this results in my windowsills basically rotting. Right. It's been suggested that I replace them with quartz or some other material like that. It's also been suggested by some people that I raise the radiators and basically put the heat source so that there is a vent in the windowsills and the hot air rises. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, I'm going to have a few questions to ask you. The window condensation, does it happen 12 months a year? Is there a specific month that it happens more than others?
It happens in the winter time, and depending on the weather, it can be very serious or not so bad.
Okay. Now, do you have a lot of plants in your house?
There are a lot of plants in the place, yes.
Okay. So that might be one of your issues. You might be producing too much relative humidity in the air. That is something that is very common with people that collect plants or grow plants, especially in the winter. You have to water them, and most people don't understand that, you know, these things do create humidity whether we like it or not. So one of the tricks to know or to see if that's really what's happening is get yourself a hygrometer and see what is the relative humidity that you have, that you are producing in the winter in different time spans, meaning when you water the plants at night, in the morning, and especially on those days where you see that the windows are really fogging up. And that might be the answer. The issue with the rads is really not going to work. You need to go to the source of the problem. And most of the time, it's what you're creating in your lifestyle, okay? Sometimes it's not the plan. Sometimes there's 7 people living in the house and they all want to take 6 showers every day. That creates way more humidity than the house can take. So what you need to do is open windows and ventilate and so on and so forth and have better fans. That's what I would start with. It's really the easy solution for you.
Okay.
The other thing that you might try to do is get yourself a dehumidifier with a built-in thermostat. They all are. Meaning when it gets to a certain humidity level, it's going to kick in and it's going to do the work. And where you want to put these is strategically where the plants are concentrated, because that's typically where you're producing the most amount of humidity in the house.
Go ahead, Molly.
Okay. I can't control the humidity by getting rid of plants. But the idea of a dehumidifier could be helpful, so I appreciate that. And do you have a suggestion, if I do replace the wooden windowsills, the best material for that, would it be quartz or tile or granite or any other ideas?
Quartz is a great choice because of the colors, and we do produce solid color quartz, because sometimes you don't want to have that motif or design on your windowsill. You just want it to kind of fit in the rest of the wall painting. So if your walls are white, and you might want to put a white quartz sill there without introducing many colors. Having said that, you might not need to go that far if you solve the issue with the dehum that you're going to be installing. So you might not need to, you know, kind of go as far as the windowsills. You need to go to the root of the problem, because the truth of the matter is it's not just the windowsills that are suffering in the house. What most people don't know is that once we are above 55% relative humidity, so when you go into the 70-75% relative humidity in the house, just the air by itself is creating mold spores. So that's when you're starting to breathe the mold spores. It's not the fact that we don't see them does not mean that they're not there, because don't forget, mold is microscopic fungi. So technically we're not supposed to see it. When you do see it, what you're seeing really is a colony of the mold, which is millions or hundreds of thousands of spores conquered in one location. So, again, that's why I would like you to go to the root of the problem, and in this case, get rid of that source of extra humidity that you're introducing. Not by getting rid of the plants necessary, but by introducing mechanized equipment that will help you do so, whether you're ventilating the house, opening windows, extraction, fans, air exchangers, and so on and so forth. Always monitor these things. And a hygrometer is very practical. It's extremely cheap to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But for many reasons, because even in the winter, we go to certain homes and the relative humidity is at 30%. Way too dry, way too unhealthy. So it's both extremes are very bad. We want to be very careful with that. We want to regulate the humidity, whether it's to the upside or the downside, and that's the way for us to do that. So you might have a dehumidifier and a humidifier in the winter in case the house is too dry.
Molly, can you hang on 1 second? Because I think I have one more question, right?
Sure.
Can you just hang on? Because we're up against the clock. I'm going to put you on hold and come right back. 514-790-0800.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Sometimes I'm a little of both, but it's rare. 922, we're going to just wrap up with Molly, who's been on the phone and on hold. Hi, Molly.
Hi.
You're just going to wrap up with you. You have one last thing you want to mention to Walter?
Just two very quick things.
Yeah.
What's the ideal level of humidity?
So 50%, 50 to 55% is you want to be, that will be the ultimate zone you want to be, stay within.
Okay. And are there any specific features I should look for in a dehumidifier?
Not really. I mean, depending on the size of your place, or your, is it a home or an apartment, you might just look at the size of the dehumidifier itself, because it does work by cubic feet. So if you have a big room and, you know, you just want to get the bigger size, they have multiple sizes, the small, medium, large. Sometimes they even have the commercial kind, which it works fantastic, but it's very clunky and you don't want to have it there in the middle of the living room. So okay. It's a question of just using the logic on the space, and you might need to buy a couple. If you have plants in both rooms, then, you know, by all means. And, you know, one of the ways you also know if you have the right type of the dehumidifier is how many times you're going to be emptying it per day. So let's say you see that you're emptying it often. Typically, you have a very small dehumidifier for the space. So you want to get a bigger one with bigger storage. So you can, you know, the idea is to change it once a day or once every couple of days. That would be the ideal for you.
Mm. All right.
So thank you very much for your help.
Thanks, Molly. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye now. We're going to go to Marjorie. Hi, Marjorie, out in Pierrefonds, right?
Yes, that's it.
You want to talk to her. You have an issue about a roof.
Yes, it's a question, actually, because a friend of mine has done some research, and she's finally settled on a roofer. I don't know who it is. But anyway, she said there are no shingles involved. It's just a membrane. And I know I had a roof done just last year, and no one offered me that. So I don't know what the story is about the membrane.
Okay. So membrane, what she probably means is an elastomeric membrane, and that usually works on flat roofs or roofs with very, very little slant. Your house is made out of, like, real peaks, so you have to look at the corners or the angles of your roof and how steep it is and the slope of the roofs.
Yes.
And the type of roofs you have. So if you have a conventional roof like everybody else, then shingles is what you want to stick with.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend might have a flat type roof, and that's, you know, a good alternative because you can't use shingles anyways on flat roofs, but you could use tar and gravel, TPO, or elastomer. An elastomeric membrane is great for flat roofs because it typically have double the lifespan of a tar and gravel roof.
What kind of roof does she have, Marjorie?
You know, I've been there and I didn't notice.
Okay.
I really don't remember.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's why one of the things is, we sometimes we're surrounded by different information and other times is by Dr. Google, and you know, that's where we go, you know, making wrong decisions just because we don't have all the facts. So yeah. I mean, you know, shingle roof is not a bad thing. It's a great thing if you have the right shingles and the right preparation and the right steps to take. But you know, there's, you know, in our roof, when you have a shingle roof with the slopes, you can only really have metal roof there or terracotta roof or a shingle roof. You can't really put a membrane roof on that.
Okay. Okay, that's good information, because I don't know how much research she's actually done on it, but I guess she likes the person and, you know, she accepted. But I, when she told me that, I just thought to myself, well, I wonder if I shouldn't just ask a question about it. I don't know how many questions she's asked about it.
Well, let me tell you one thing. No roofer would recommend a membrane roof on a sloped roof that does not require it, because an elastomeric roof is not easy to install.
Right,
so you have to be torched in. It's a big job. So someone that's really recommending that is because the installation process and the angles and the slopes are the right, you have the right conditions for it.
Okay.
So I'm not worried that she's being scammed or anything like that, in the contrary.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marjorie. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye now. Bye-bye. Off to Chamonix, Walter, for Nicolita. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're great, except for the rain,
okay.
But that's okay.
I have a question about my kitchen cabinets. They were custom made by the previous owner. I lived in the house now for 19 years. They have their wood. And they have around the doors, like little design, cylinder designs, which over the years have like black, you know, inside, and I can't get rid of them. I want to know if there's a product out there. I've tried so many things. I've been to Rona so many times, asking them, taking pictures, telling them what I want to do just to clean them to look, you know, cleaner. But nothing seems to work. The last product they recommended is TSP cleaner. I tried it, but I saw no difference. Is there anything out there just to clean wood?
My question first, before we answer the question, is that going, that blackness that we're talking about, is that going inside the roofs?
No. It's just around the corners. It's nice wood. I don't know what kind of wood it is. There is a little design just around the cabinet, that there are little circles all around. And in those circles, there's like from the dust, from over the years, from humidity, I don't know from what, there's little dark spots that I see. And I want to get rid of them. Just to clean them, to make them nice and clean.
Now, when you use the TLC,
TSP,
did you read the instructions? Because they are a very specific percentage.
I know. It says to spray it on and leave it for 15 minutes and then wash it off. I'm scared to wash it off with water because it's wood. Isn't it going to, like, affect the wood, the water?
Yes, I mean, obviously, it's, you have to use damp cloths. You can't use something
that's what I did.
Yeah, that's right. But the reason I'm asking you this is because there's also a dwell time.
15 minutes.
15 minutes dwell time that, you know, before you start cleaning it.
Yeah.
Now, if that doesn't work, you could use, Murphy oil. Did you try Murphy oil?
Yeah. No, I can't find it.
It's Murphy oil soap that you want to try.
How do you spell that? Mercy.
Murphy. M-U-R.
Oh, Murphy.
Yeah, Murphy, yeah. M-U-R-P-H-Y.
So Murphy oil soap. Mm. Try that.
Yeah, okay.
And see what if that
I
would work.
I had seen a commercial about that on TV, and I couldn't remember the name.
Nicolita, we have to run because news is ready, but I hope that was some help for you.
Yes, it was. Have a great day, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
You can talk to Walter. It's free. Full hour of great advice. years of experience. Walter Assey from Rodovco. 514-790-0800. I'm Ken Connors. Got Ben in Master Control handling the phones. Call now. Again, 514-790-0800. Alex, are you there?
Yeah, hey. How's it going, guys?
Good. You're out in Lachine. You want to talk about a wall-mounted air conditioner?
Yeah, I do. Thanks. Okay. It's actually a two-part question. The first part is it's one of these do-it-yourself air conditioning systems. You know, they give you all the hoses, all the connections, and, you know, the video to go online and figure it out. My question, part one, is would I need to bring in an electrician to, I guess, close the panel? And part two would be, do you know anybody that could potentially install this for me?
Electrician to do what, though? Because most of these portable ACs, if they are the one that I'm thinking about, they work with just regular plugs.
No, this is a wall-mounted one, not a portable. You mount it on your wall.
Okay.
It has one of those, like, a thermal pumps so that you put outside, and that needs to be connected directly to the electrical panel.
Anything that has to do with panel is very simple. Anything that has to do with the electric panel, you need definitely an electrician. Not even a handy guy, not even a guy that does that knows electrical for many reasons. Most important of them is liability in case electric fire happen or anything like that. So yeah, that definitely I would. Now, as far as installing it, it's a good question because it's a dying thing that, you know. I mean, I would call, even if you would call it. You know, like companies like Electro-Aid, sometimes they just send you a technician if they have one available and they can install it for you. Handyman, possibly, because the installation itself is not complicated. The electrical part is probably where you would need to have a bit more professional advice or actually to get the job done and not run into any issues. But, okay. I mean, you know, if you have anybody like a ventilation company that is in your area and you could call them, especially if they're close by to you, they might send you a tech and, you know, they would do it pretty fast. Even if they charge a bit more per hour, because they're very acquainted with systems, it might end up costing you cheaper.
Who did you try to call, Alex?
There was a few companies that I, you know, Googled that were offering just that, you know, installation services, and they all came back with, you have to buy the system from us in order for us to install.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are some ventilation companies that would service any system. So I would maybe focus on these if possible. But I understand a lot of them want to sell you the machine itself. So, yeah.
Any recommendations?
I mean, you could always try with Electro-Aid. I don't know if they do that service, but, you know, you could always ask them. And especially if you're calling in a time where, I mean, here's the trick for you. Don't call on a hot day, okay, in the summer, because they're going to be busy like heck. You want to call, you know, those days where it's like 14 degrees, their techs are at home kind of a thing. And that usually works because they're not as busy those days.
Okay, thanks for the info.
All right, Alex, so good luck with that. Thanks for calling the show. Let's move on to Fred. Hi, Fred.
Yes, good morning to you.
Where are you, Fred? What part of Montreal are you calling from?
I'm from Cartierville.
Very nice, Cartierville. Know it well. You want to talk to Walter about a blocked sink?
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on there?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes. What's tell us about the blocked sink.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, the sink is blocked for a couple of weeks. I tried powder, the environment-friendly. It didn't work. The sink was totally blocked. It took 4 or 5 days for the water to recede. Then eventually, now when we put water, it goes slowly, but still blocked. So I was wondering if I can use a Drano or something else.
So Drano would be the last
resort,
really. I don't like to use anything that is abrasive and chemicals in the drains if I can avoid it. Can you use Drano? Yes. Before you use Drano, try to go with the simpler solutions or the better solutions for the environment and for your pipes. Try to use a fish. Try to use a fish, and then below your sink, you have that the P trap. It have like a kind of twist off at the end, so if you open that and sometimes you would see that it's blocked in that area, That would be a good place to start. Something that is easy, you don't need to a plumber for. Just make sure you screw it, you screw the tap back nicely afterwards. But I would use the Draino till the end.
That's the only thing that you... No other solution, like any other products that...
I mean, the products do work. I'm just, you know, it's just, again, it's not the... It's not the first go-to approach. You could try them. If you want to absolutely try it, there's nothing wrong with trying it, but usually we try them at the end. If you pass a small fish through it and, you know, 9 out of 10 times this is gonna work, and you don't need much assistance. Even, believe it or not, sometimes just plunging it would work. I don't know if you've tried that.
I tried that. At the beginning, it helped a bit.
Yeah,
but the wheel still didn't open. It's still blocked. So I thought if there's anyways, without having to go through the unscrewing and the fish thing, if there's a product that you think of personally, so I could use. I bought this product from Home Depot. They said it's very good. It's a friendly product. It didn't work. It comes in 3 bags. I put 1 bag at a time. It didn't work. Maybe I should have put the 3 bags at one shot. I don't know if I should.
Yeah, usually the environmentally friendly are less aggressive. Draino is a bit more aggressive, so I could totally relate. But the other thing is, did you look at do you have an automatic plug in the sink, or it's the one that you manually put in and put out? Because sometimes it's just coming out from that area. So if you just play with the automatic plug. You know, it's not even a block sink. Sometimes just the plug itself is badly fixed.
Where is this plug? I don't know.
The one that you plug in, you know, in the drain of the sink.
Yeah.
If you want to fill up the sink, you have like a type of pop-up kind of a plug.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes if that's badly adjusted, it will cause blockage in your sink.
What do? I unblock it.
Well, take it out and put it back on again, screw it nicely, and see what happens. Because sometimes that is the number one cause of blocked sinks, believe it or not.
Is that what you have in your sink, Fred? One of those little stoppers that you use to when you want to fill up the sink? Or do you just use something manually?
No, I just opened the tab, that's all.
Okay, I don't think he's... okay, so at the bottom of your sink, there's a drain, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a cap on the like a pop out kind of a cap that you, if you want to block the sink and fill it up with water, you just, you know,
push it down
and the water will fill up.
Do you have that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So try that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If you can unscrew this and re-screw it again, just to eliminate that possibility, because like I said, a lot of times it is coming from there, the problem, and it's not really from the drain itself.
Yeah, I've had that in the bathroom sink, yeah.
That's correct. So start with that, because even if you put Draino and the problem is from there, even if you fish, the problem is from there, it's not going to solve the problem. So start with that first.
Mm. Okay.
Fred, good luck. Call us next week and tell us how it worked out. Maybe we'll have more for
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day, guys. You are very helpful.
Thank you. All right.
Bye. You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. We're in the home stretch. Well, we have time for you if you want to call in now at 514-790-0800. Did you want to mention a thought or two about our sink issue from the last caller?
My plumber just actually sent me some interesting pictures from Renotech, great guy. He said that he sent me pictures of actual melted PVC pipes due to the use of products. I'm not going to name the names, but he said to be very careful because they're running often into that. So that's why we say it's really a last resort
yeah.
Because might solve the problem temporarily, but you are causing real damage to your pipes.
Good to know. Thank you for that. We're going to go to Reza. Is that you, Reza?
Yes.
You want to talk about the heat pump in the attic?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Excellent. Hello, guys. I bought a house that there was a heat pump installed in the attic. And I've been told that during winter, it's better not to turn it on because of the damage it might have done to the shingles, roof shingles. Mm.
So I normally turn it off, close all the openings to somehow prevent like a condensation and whatnot. My question is that, is it really necessary to turn it off during winter? I'd like to know if I can turn it on during winter. And also, if there is any way to add humidifier with just fan on, not heating system on.
Okay. If you are turning it off in the winter, you are really losing the most benefit out of your heat pump, because that's when you save the most money.
Yeah.
So you are paying full retail if on hydro, if you wish, rather than benefiting from the savings. So the issue with the heat pump in the attic, that is placed in the worst possible place at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
In the winter, it is the you want to run the heat through it, and it's in the coldest place in the house. In the summer, it's the opposite, cold air in the hottest place in the house. So what you need to do is you need to ensure that everything is well insulated around this whole area. Or, better yet, if you can change completely the location of the heat pump, if it's due to be changed, that will even be better. An attic is not an ideal place in Quebec temperature to place any type of equipment, especially for heat and for cooling.
Yeah.
So you need to insulate it properly. You need the ducts need to be extremely well insulated, and the trick is to insulate them from the top, the sides, and at the bottom, because that's one place that they can never get right. If you don't have those ducts insulated properly throughout the whole pipe, you're always going to have problems. And you might cause yourself bigger problems than you know, like you said, condensation and water damage and mold and everything else. So start by insulating the ducting adequately. And if it is due to be changed, see if there's a way that you could put that heat pump outside the house, or in a better location for that matter.
Is that an option for you, Reza?
I don't think so. I think it's like a lot of work to do.
It is a lot of work. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I have already ducting insulated, I've done my attic re-insulated like last year with the like R60 value. I believe on the attic, everything is insulated. But I'm more concerned about the space between the furnace and the shingles. So is there any way to somehow put insulation on top or somehow reduce this, you know, heat transfer between these two?
Well, your issue is, okay, so here's the thing. You have to be very careful with that. Your attic needs to breathe, and it needs to be having lots of air in. So if you have cold air in, it has to be as cold as possible in the winter, and you know, same temperature or as close to the same temperature as the outside. So in a case where you are insulating the areas where the wood needs to breathe, that's not really doing yourself any favor. The only reason you have insulation is because you don't want the hot air from the house or the cold air to reach the attic itself and create condensation. That's the only reason we're insulating an attic. So anytime you are introducing any insulation in the attic above and beyond the insulation that is needed to kind of separate the two spaces, want to be careful because, you know, now you are interfering with the ventilation of the attic itself. We use the word heat pump before, but it's actually the furnace because the heat pump is on the outside. So, the furnace itself, if you need to build an enclosure for it of some kind, that's fine. But do not kind of insulate the plywood in the attic or anything like that.
Yeah, I meant the furnace itself.
Yeah,
you could definitely
build some type of an enclosure, especially if you have a high attic and kind of protect it from the elements, and that's fine. That's fine. That's not a problem.
Okay. And my last question was, is it possible to, without running the heating element, but adding a humidifier? to somehow in the
it is possible. Yeah, of course, it is possible. You add that to the furnace itself. The only the other thing that I kind of honestly don't like about furnaces and attic is the maintenance part. Like every time you want to go change a filter every 3 months, you have to go up and do that and so on and so forth. So and that you have to.
Fortunately, the filter had been somehow placed somewhere that it's reachable. So
okay, from the from a trap at the ceiling.
It, yeah, that's on smart. The RA opening.
Mm. Okay. That's very smart, and that's at least you have that that you can brag about, I guess.
Exactly. That's the only good part about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, the other good part is that the your registers in the summer are high up, so it you know it's probably gonna cool it off, and it's gonna be great. It's yeah. in the winter where it's not that efficient because hot air rises and you're up there, right? So yeah. maybe installing fans will drastically help you reduce your heating bills as well.
Reza, I hope we were some help for you today.
Yeah, that was very helpful. Thank you very much.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too. Bye.
There you go. There's the hour. Walter Assey from Monofco. Walter, thank you so much as always.
My pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure.
All right.
And we excuse ourselves for the listeners, for the callers that we couldn't get to in time.
Absolutely. We're back next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. Lisa's ready to answer your calls on the car show here between 10 and 11. And then Callie Albert, her final edition of Montreal Eats between 11 and noon. Have a great day.